This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 121, and I am talking today to Jamie Ivey. You may know her.
If you listen to podcasts, she's kind of a big deal. I like to say I'm kind of a big deal, but like she's actually kind of a big deal.
She hosts a weekly podcast called The Happy Hour. I actually was super pumped to go to Austin and record for her show a couple days ago, which theoretically sounds so fun, and it was fun, but it was also super scary. For me, she wasn't scared. But one funny thing is, at the end of her show, she asks, what are your three favorite things? And I know that. I totally know that. And I had like almost 4 hours to think about it on the way down to Austin, and I didn't even consider thinking about it. So when she asked me, I had absolutely nothing. Nothing. So I'm just gonna ruin it for you and tell you what I said on her show. I looked down at my pants, and I said, I like my pants. What? Then I noticed that I had on a sweater that I liked, and I said, I like my sweater. I mean, it just got worse and worse. And then I looked over and I saw that I liked my bag. For reals. And I really do genuinely like all those things, but I just was kind of panicking and just saying things I saw. It reminded me of how at the dinner table, my kids like to make knock-knock jokes up based on just whatever they see in the room. Like a knock-knock joke about a chair and their macaroni and cheese. Things like that. So I basically was functioning on a 5-year-old level because I was caught off guard by a question that I knew was coming. So that's neat. And the good thing is she was so gracious that she didn't even look at me like, are you kidding me right now? She didn't do it. So anyway, we will not be talking about the things that I see in the room as I look around today on this episode, because I have my business together. But we do talk about her new book that's coming out called If You Only Knew. We talk a lot about identity and actually believing what you say you believe. We cover what to do when God points you in a direction you did not expect, and how it's been as she has older kids watching God drawing them to himself. We cover tons of other things too, like when she knew she had to give up things that she honestly loved and didn't think were that bad, but she, as she came to know the Lord, she realized those weren't God's best for her. So we'll go ahead and get started, and I can't wait to go over some of the things that we talked about at the end.
I want to take a minute and tell you about Fabletics. Fabletics is fashionable premium activewear at a great value, and they make fantastic leggings that you will love to work out in. And let's be real, you're also going to grocery shop and watch Netflix in them as well. Fabletics has a VIP membership, and you can shop without it, but you're going to save a ton of money as a VIP member. You'll get 40 to 50% off retail, plus reward points for free stuff. Every month, Fabletics releases new styles. You just hop on, decide what you want, and buy it, or you can skip that month and pay nothing. They have camo print leggings that I love right now, and they have them in their power hold style. So the power hold leggings make sure you stay put when you're jumping around. And ladies, I need some power hold in my life when I'm working out. And also when I'm just walking. Some of the styles, though, sell out really quick. So if you see something you like, now's the time to get it. So go to fabletics.com/MSW today, and you'll get 2 pairs of their amazing leggings for just $24 when you become a VIP member. Seriously, these are the world's best leggings. They're a $99 value, and you'll get 2 for only $24 when you join fabletics.com/MSW. That's fabletics.com/MSW.
Let's go ahead and get started on my chat with Jamie Ivey.
Good morning, Jamie Ivey. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
I bet if anybody knows about podcasts, they're familiar, but will you tell us about yourself?
Well, thank you so much. My name's Jamie, and I live in Austin, Texas with my man, Aaron, and he works at the Austin Stone Community Church, which is an amazing church here in Austin. He's a worship pastor, and we have 4 kids. We're about to flip over the ages, you know, so
yes.
I'm going to tell you when we do the flip, here's where everyone's going to be: 14, 12, 12, 10.
Okay.
And so 4 kids, I have a podcast, The Happy Hour, and a book coming out, and that's my life.
And you do everything in a tiny house. I love that.
I have a tiny house. I know, it's so cool.
Is there like a tiny house place, like a purchasing place?
Yeah, we bought it from a company that makes tiny houses, which there's a handful here in Austin. We have choices.
That's like such an Austin thing to have a tiny house.
I know. I can't see you having one in Plano.
I don't think they let me.
They probably have a bunch of rules about what you can and can't.
I want chickens. They won't let me have chickens.
Yeah, I bet they wouldn't. We can have, I mean, we live out in the country, kind of. I mean, we do. Not kind of, we do. And so we have a tiny house. I want chickens too. But we also have coyotes and.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I do have possums, which I don't want, but I have.
No, so. Exactly. We have armadillos too that we don't want, but they're tearing up my yard. But
oh, do they
don't
dig?
Want them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Like I came out. Usually it's in the middle of the night, but I came out to take a dog out recently at like 10:30 at night, scared the bejesus out of me. And there's an armadillo and he didn't run off. He just looked at me like,
it's like, okay, what? Are
we? Yeah. I'm like, you're tearing up my yard. Why are you here? He's like, I'm good.
That's fine. Everything's
fine. And
so
like, I think I picked up an umbrella and threw it at him.
There you go.
Which they carry diseases.
I know. They carry leprosy.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. So maybe I shouldn't use that umbrella again.
Never. Burn it. Right. Okay, so I do want to talk about your book, If You Only Knew. And it is interesting. I learned a lot about you, Jamie.
Well, thanks. I know. That's what my mom said, too. She's like, oh, look, you're just telling everybody everything, huh?
Oh, man. Okay, so I happen to go to a church where people are so open with their junk that, like, mm-hmm. it'll blow your hair back, like, from the stage. And I love it. I've found so much freedom there. Like, because I've always been a person who kind of overshares. And then you're just kind of met with, oh, but everything's fine. My worst thing is I stay up too late sometimes watching Netflix. I'm like, really? Because that's not true.
Right.
So what made you decide to do that? Like, there's usually a reason that you come out with all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think for me, I wanted to share parts of this story for a really long time, especially the parts about in the early years, like starting to follow Jesus and really just realizing, hey, there's more to my life than what I've been living. And I grew up in the church, so I knew a lot about God, but I didn't have a relationship with him. So I wanted to share that story for a long time because although it's not unique, a lot of people start following Jesus when they're 21 after they've been through a lot of crazy stuff. So I know my story is not unique, but I just wanted to share it with people just to give them hope, you know, that there's more than what they're living for.
Well, and I think when people look at Jamie Ivey and they see what's happening recently, like with your show and everything, they would never expect that there was anything before that.
Junk. Yeah, yeah. And so I think that's important for me as well. And then, Emily, I started a couple of years ago. I also get the unique, awesome, wonderful privilege of speaking to churches and their women. They bring me in and it's totally humbling and honoring. But I was speaking a couple of years ago and I was sharing parts of my story and I was talking about our new identity in Christ and how, you know, our sins don't define us. I'm sharing all these things and I shared parts of my story. And afterwards, a couple of women were like, oh, that must be really hard for you to say out loud. And that happened a handful of times that spring when I was teaching this topic at women's groups. And I remember thinking, in fact, I said to her, it's not hard for me because it's not who I am. Like those are things I've done. I still have things I do today that I work through, you know, not defining me. I may not write those in a book right now because I'm still working through them.
Right.
But these things that I wrote in this book, like I've worked through these, like, man, God has done such big things in me that I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed because of what God's done. And so that's kind of where I wanted to write this from because I believe the freedom that God offers us is real.
Yeah.
And so I want women to know that and believe it.
I want to talk about that freedom bit because I think, I don't know if you've heard about Revelation Wellness.
I have.
Okay. So I just went through the instructor training last week.
Uh-huh.
And I told Elisa, in my life, I'd never hope to teach a fitness class. That is not my jam. Right. She goes, it's not about the fitness. It's like a big freedom party. And I was like, okay, you know, but I feel like I'm, you know, free. Some crazy stuff shifted. And so I think that freedom is more real than we realize. But if you've only had a tiny taste of it, you don't know how much more there can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what has changed in your life as a result of even just sharing your story for someone who's thinking, I could never actually say those words out loud?
Yeah, a few things have changed. Number one, I think that me truly believing what God says about me to be true and trusting that, it set me up because that wasn't a one-time, like, I'm done with that. I've accomplished this. I want to tell all you guys how to do it because I am the professional freedom woman. Like, that's just not true. It's like I said, it's a constant thing for me. I mean, just last week, I was struggling with something that's not in this book, but it's something that I struggle with now that I struggle with a lot that I have not figured out and I haven't overcome that. And so it's not like I'm not going to write a book about that because I'm still walking through those things, struggling to find my freedom in an industry, you know, like in my work. Like that's a struggle for me right now. And so I think sharing these things gets just a constant reminder to myself and to the readers, A, that it's possible, and B, that it's ongoing. This isn't just something that you just wake up one day and be like, well, I'm complete, because that just doesn't happen till we meet Jesus after we die. But I want to always continue to be moving towards that, getting better every day at trusting him and believing him and finding that freedom. Another thing that's changed, Emily, is I have to talk about it. You know, like I just wrote it down and now I have, it's like I'm talking about it, which is good. And I value that. But it also is, like I told you before we started, you know, talking about this book has been the most vulnerable thing I've ever done, because the book is pretty vulnerable. Even though people are like, oh, you're so brave, you wrote it. That's true, right? But I still have to talk about it. And it still is a little bit hard of just being like, this is where I'm struggling. I'm just going to put it all in a book for you to read. Welcome to my life.
Well, I love that you say that, because there can be a perception that once you write it down in a book or once you have a podcast, that it's not hard anymore. Like it must not be hard for you. Like it's hard for another person. It's easy for you, so you can do that. But I never could do that.
Right. Well, the thing is, it's not hard for me to talk about being pregnant at 19. That's not hard for me because I have walked through that. Yeah. God has really just done a lot of work in my life. But like I mentioned, you know, what's hard for me right now is to have a conversation in the public eye. And I won't, because I'm still like really stepping through those things of like, man, how am I finding my identity in my work right now? I mean, I do talk about that, but that's a struggle for me right now. Whereas because I was pregnant at 19, I can say that very openly and it doesn't do a thing to me because, man, I dealt with that. God forgave me. I don't live in that shame. Yeah. So I think it just kind of, it's a constant one foot in front of the other of really, really trusting and believing over and over and over again every single day.
Yeah, I think that's good. Because I think one and done, at least for me, I would love that.
Right.
I would love the one. I mean, because then I don't have to depend on God. And I really don't want to depend on God, you know?
Awesome and can handle everything on my own, right? That's what we think.
And I think there's definitely a wisdom of going, I haven't kind of sorted this out yet, so I'm going to kind of hold this close. But these other things that I've walked through, I'm happy to share those.
I'm a fan of being vulnerable and open and talking about things. And I do that a lot, even with things I haven't like kind of gotten to the other side of. I'm also a really big fan of like really walking through things with Jesus before I think like I can tell people how to do that.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not going to have you tell everything that you've said in the book, but you went to a conference. You didn't even want to go there. You didn't like the people you were with, but you knew that you needed to do the thing, even though it made no sense. I kind of feel like that's what it was like for me going to a fitness instructor camp.
Right.
Are you kidding me? Elisa one time called me and she's like, hey, I'd like you to be on my show. And I could not answer the phone because I was licking cookie dough off my hands, like as she called. So I'm like, this is not fit, you know? So I understand when God puts you in a direction and you're like, this doesn't make any sense. But you did it anyway.
Uh-huh.
I just want to encourage a mom to do a thing that's weird.
Yeah.
What happened at the conference for you?
I mean, I've done a lot of things that are weird and that God's really used them in my life. The list is long, but I was in college. It was 1999. No, January of 1999. Yes. Isn't it? That's forever ago. Look, I'm like, I'm going to be 40 next year.
I know. The 90s. What?
The
90s. Like they just happened.
My kids think it's ancient, you know, like, oh, that was in the 90s. That's our 90s, Mom. January of 99, I went to the Passion Conference, which was in Dallas that year. And I mean, it's crazy because I look back and I don't even have a memory of what made me want to go. Like I have no idea. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make logical sense that I would have gone. I wasn't concerned with faith in my life. I would have said I was a believer because I went down, walked the aisle when I was 7 or 10 or whatever. But I went randomly to this conference, Passion, and it's where God totally met me and wrecked my life. And I don't know why I went, except for the only explanation is just that the Holy Spirit does those type of things, you know, and he moves in your heart when it doesn't make sense and you do things that sound crazy. Although that was like a fabulous thing. It wasn't like I was, you know, cliff diving without a parachute or anything. That would be crazy.
But it was weird for you.
It was weird for me. Yeah. It was.
I love the idea, too, that the Holy Spirit can be at work even when it's not like we're trying to follow him. And that's an encouragement for our kids. Like if we have kids who are heading off in the wrong direction, God is big enough to speak to them even in their mess.
I mean, yeah, that's an encouragement as a mom who's parenting 4 kids that are, you know, almost teenagers. Aaron, my husband and I have had just the unique and wonderful privilege as their parents to be able to watch the Holy Spirit move in their lives when it doesn't make sense. We obviously teach our kids about God's truth and we talk about him and he's important to us and a value in our family. But to sit back and see the Holy Spirit move in their lives and draw them towards God is just one of the most beautiful things I think I've ever seen in my entire life. And that's what he does. God draws people to him. And so that happened to me then. I mean, it was unexplainable, the same way it's unexplainable when we give our lives to Jesus. You know, it's just, it's because of what God's doing in us.
Yeah. I think sometimes though we think the Holy Spirit won't work until like we're right with God. And like you said in your book, you tried all the things. And I think we do. We try so many things to clean ourselves up and it's silly.
We can't. It's not, it's impossible.
Yeah. So you're talking about the Holy Spirit and kind of sitting back and watching him work in your kids' lives. I think I want to be the Holy Spirit to my kids.
Right? Because we think that we can handle it.
Well, and I'm pretty sure they can hear me. If I'm in their face, like taking away things they love, if they can't make good choices. Uh-huh. And, you know, like, how do you advise a mom to take a back seat to the Holy Spirit when it requires trust on our part even to let that happen? Mm-hmm,
totally. Yeah. We've seen this a lot recently with just thinking about our kids' salvation. I mean, as a mom, I want my kids to love Jesus. I want them to follow him. I want them to give their lives to him. I want them to do things that matter. Mm-hmm. And so we have a tendency as parents to make sure they do that so that we're going to just tell them what to do. We're going to ask them to pray a prayer and say, then they are a Christian.
Because it makes us feel better.
It makes us feel better. We can check it off our list. Christian son, check. Baptized son, check. You know, I mean, my oldest is almost 14 and he is a follower of Jesus. We've seen that happen. He's not been baptized because we've asked him and he just says, you know, I'm not quite ready. And there's a part of me that wants to be like, well, why aren't you ready? Let's talk about this. You need to do this. Yeah. People need to see that one of the pastor's kids at our church is baptized.
Yeah.
And for us, we just like, I want my kids to make these choices because if I make them for them, I'm the perfect example. Mm. Not that my parents made those choices for me, but I never had that relationship. Yeah. And so I want my kids to make that. And, you know, it's been really, really cool. I would say that two of my kids out of the four, we have seen the Holy Spirit work in their lives and draw them towards Jesus. And both of them had said, yes, I want to follow him. I want to give him my life. And I tell you the coolest thing, Emily, is just this week, my husband and I have been talking about one of our other kids. Okay. And we're having conversations about like, man, we can see something happening in his world. It makes me cry because it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever been a part of is to actually see transformation happening in my kids' lives. That's not because of me. I mean, I want it to be because I could pat myself on the back and be like, man, look how good of a Christian mom I am. I saved my kids. Yeah. And it's just impossible for us to save our kids. And so watching my kids transform and watching this one particular kid of ours right now, just like God is doing something crazy in their life. Mm. And we literally get to watch it happen. Like the front row seats, like we're like on the stage with the actor and this is happening. And it's really cool. It's cool to watch as a parent. Yeah.
So good. My kids are still crawling around on the ground like wolves. So we're not exactly.
Mine are old and sometimes they act like that. So okay. No hope for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes. Okay. So let's talk about how when you're talking about all this hard stuff that you did not a whole lot older than the kids you have. Mm-hmm. When I was 21, I got married to a guy I didn't know because he was gorgeous. And he almost killed me. And so it wasn't a good idea. Mm. So I've talked about that with my kids, but they're also young and they don't really understand, you know, what's happening. But what's it like to be that honest with your kids? Is there, I'm assuming a mom would feel like, oh, my kids shouldn't really know what I actually did.
You know, the thing is, like, my story is just, it's not that unique. It's not like the craziest thing you've ever read in your life. But it is when you look at someone like me, like, oh, she's in ministry. Her husband's a pastor. They have four children. She seems to have all of her like ducks in a row. Yeah. And then I'm like, well, actually, like God wrecked my life. I made a lot of crazy decisions. I was pregnant, you know, not married and blah, 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 blah. And those things are hard for me to look at my kids and say, but I'll tell you this, my oldest who is 14, I will totally sit down and have these conversations with him. I don't know if my daughter who's 10 knows this, but I know my other boys know that I was engaged at one time because we've talked about like, oh, like, I mean, you should have seen their faces the first time they heard that, like, I had kissed somebody before my husband. I mean, they were just like, what? And I was like, oh, Lord, there's so much more. this is just the beginning, you guys. But, you know, they're just little innocent and they want to believe that their mommy and daddy loved each other from forever and they never. And I wish that was my story. It's not. Yeah. And so I am so confident, as hard as it's going to be for me to sit down and talk to my kids about choices that I made, I'm confident that God has redeemed my life and he didn't redeem my life and forget that I had kids that are going to hear this story one day. Yeah. He is the master, like, planner of our lives and the master just putting things in place. I just pray, I know that God will use this for them as well. And will it be hard? Yeah, only because your kids just think that your parents are like amazing and like could do no wrong. Although I apologize to my kids all the time because believe me, you know, I mess up as a mom. But I also want them to see like just God's redemption, you know, and to know that like the path that I took, I would never wish for anyone or them. But man, well, look what God's done in my life because of that. Look at the ministry that he's given me because of that.
And it provides them a soft place to land when they jack stuff up.
Yep. And they will. Yeah. I got four kids. I mean, what are the odds? You know, like someone's going to make some major poor choices.
Yeah.
It's just life. Aaron and I, we just want to be here to be like, we're here. You know, we're not leaving. You're not the worst person in the world. There is grace and there's forgiveness and there's redemption no matter what. You know, I always tell my kids, there's nothing you could ever do that would make me stop loving you. And it's true. And that just needs to be just something that's a perfect example of the Father for them. Yeah. You know, that there's nothing you can do that's going to make God start loving you. We have consequences. Yes. Are things going to go wrong? Because yes, you know, choices have consequences. But man, the love of God is unending.
Okay, hold everything. I'm going to tell you about my friend Kara's at-home wellness community called Wellness Witness. I personally am a member of this wellness community. I first met Kara through Revelation Wellness. She is one of the lead instructors there, and Wellness Witness is the ministry that she started. Wellness Witness is for you if you're looking for a gospel-centered, freedom-focused, real-life, healthy living community. There are at-home workouts. I do them with my kids. You may have seen it on Insta stories. It's for all fitness levels, and Kara does a really great job of giving modifications. There are over 120 full-length workouts on her site. The online member community is full of moms just like you who are trying to learn sustainable, Christ-centered approach to their health and wellness journeys. Kara's the real deal. She's all about making things good enough, not perfect. It's been so good for me to see her model how to live that out. Because Kara's fantastic, and because she wants to bless the Mom Struggling Well listeners, she is giving you a huge discount on a Wellness Witness Tribe membership. It's going to be $12 a month. She's making this available for you for just this week. Go to athometribe.com and you'll see a box that says Mom Struggling Well discount. So that's athometribe.com and then look for the Mom Struggling Well discount box. I personally have been very blessed and helped by all the work that Kara's doing, and I know that you will be too. Do you ever find that there's like places that are especially kind of triggering for you because of things that you did in the past, like that you are really concerned that your kids don't repeat?
Well, sex, let's just, you know, having sex at an early age, before marriage, all of those things. And it is 2018. It is a hard world to live in and stay pure. I know that as a 39-year-old faithful married wife, it is such a hard world. And, you know, Aaron and I, we decided a long time ago that we would start talking with our kids about sex from a very early age. And we have. I mean, we have had the talk with them, all of them, since they were 4 or 5 years old. And we continue those conversations. I mean, just last night, I think it was just the boy's story had already gone to bed. And I think there was a conversation. Oh, I know what it was. We were talking about texting, you know, and one of my kids has a phone and the other two are really close. And so that is a whole new world, you know, and we were talking about texting and I was just like, you know, you might have some friends that have already done this or friends might ask you to do this. Sometimes boys will ask girls to send them pictures of their boobies. And my boys, I mean, like their eyes were like, what? Which was, I was kind of glad they weren't like, yeah, we know, you know,
oh, that's regular, like, mom.
Yeah. And so we had a whole conversation about,
and did you bring that up?
I did. Yep. Okay. This is the thing. This is where I think that Aaron and I do this well, because we are intentional. We constantly bring these conversations up. Okay. Constantly, because they're not going to, you know, they're not going to bring them up. And so in that moment we were talking about texting. And so I was like, ooh, note to self, talk about guys asking girls to send nudie pictures, because as crazy as that is in my brain that that would happen in middle school, it's happening. And so I can't think, oh, my kids would never do that, because yes, they would, because they're 13, 14 year old boys and there's peer pressure and it's life. And so we do that for a couple of reasons. One, to have the conversation, like we want them to hear things from us. And two, so they know that we know, you know, like, I feel like so many times parents think, oh, the kids aren't asking me. They're not talking about this. Well, it's because kids are stupid and they think you don't know. You know what I mean?
Like, they think you're stupid.
Yes, exactly. And so if someone asks, you know, Caden, my oldest, like, oh, you should ask this girl to send you a picture. I want him to know, like, oh, my mom and dad mentioned this to me at one point. Yeah. Otherwise, they'll be like, my parents are so old and dumb. They're like from the 80s. They don't know about these things, you know? And so we just want them to know. And I've had to really like come to peace with my boys are telling my husband things way more than they are me. Okay. And there's a part of me that just makes me want to cry. It makes me want to curl up in a ball and cry.
Okay.
But I'm glad it's happening, you know?
Yeah. So you want them to tell you more things just because you're their mom.
Because I'm the mom and I love them and I don't want to be left out and I want to be a part and I want them to want my advice. But they really are like seeking their dad out, which is great.
Yes. So you have three boys.
Three boys and our last youngest, who's 10, is a girl.
Okay. All right. So in your book, you mentioned being on two tracks at the same time. And I think we can all identify with where you're like really pretty sure that the Lord is super good. But there's also this other thing that you really like being a part of. It's probably not a good thing. And I think I talked to several women and on the fence seems like a great place to be, but it's not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
What made it to where you got only on the one track instead of being on two things at the same time? Because sometimes we think we mess up so many times, I could never actually be 100% dedicated to the Lord and messing up, but still getting right back in the same place.
Totally. I mean, forever growing up, I knew what was right and wrong. Obviously, I think even non-believers know what's right and wrong, but I knew that it was wrong that I was having sex, you know, at an early age. And I don't know that necessarily non-believers would think that's wrong. You know, it's very culturally appropriate. But I knew that there was something in me telling me this was right or wrong. And so after I went to that passion conference and then came home. And so all of a sudden, I've been living a life that's clearly satisfying all of my own desires. I have a boyfriend and we are sexually active. But I come home and all of a sudden there's something different. So I had this tension for the first time ever of just like, wait, like I think that I shouldn't be doing this. Now, not just because my parents would be upset if they knew, but because there's something inside of me that's making me feel like this is wrong.
Yes.
And that was new for me. Before, it was like, I shouldn't be doing this because my parents have told me forever. I've signed True Love Waits cards. I know that this is wrong because the church would tell me so.
Right.
But now, all of a sudden, for the first time, I felt like, okay, this doesn't feel okay. And I didn't know how to deal with that, really, because I was like, I don't know what to do because I'm perfectly happy with my boyfriend. I perfectly am happy doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
But I feel weird and all these things. And so I always say me coming to Jesus was pretty ugly. I stumbled and like all of these things, even though I knew the rules, I knew all the rules, but just inside my heart, it was like, I felt like I was having to give up things that to me seemed good and fine and normal. Even I'm a 21-year-old woman. I can make my own choices.
Yeah.
And so that was super, super hard. But what happened when I decided to just really be like, okay, I'm going to let go of some of these things that like I like and I enjoy and they don't feel that bad. But for the first time, I feel like they might be bad and they might be against what God wants me to do and started following God. All of a sudden I felt safer. Like that's a word. I just keep thinking like, I just felt safer. I felt like, okay, I feel like he's really here with me speaking about God for one of the first times, because I felt like I was giving up a personal desire. And I'm not talking just about like sex, but I'm talking about just doing whatever I want, whenever I want.
Yeah.
There's two tracks. And man, I'm telling you, I think about people all the time who are coming to know Jesus at a later stage in life and the things that they really do have to like let go of and shake off, the things of the world. And that's not easy, friends. Like I want to look at them and be like, this is hard.
Yeah.
You know, this is really hard to ask you as a 35-year-old woman who just comes to know Jesus that it's not okay for you to sleep around. Like that's a hard thing to say to somebody. You know what I mean? Because it's a grown woman. That's a grown woman making her own choices, you know, or to be like, you know, it's not okay for you to talk to your husband the way you have for all these years. It's not okay for you to talk down to your children when you start to follow Jesus, because you take on this new self and you take on a new identity and you want to look more like him. But it's really easy to just continue to look more like ourselves. And so that's kind of what was happening to me that first year of following Jesus.
Hey, guys, let me stop for a second to tell you about Prep Dish. It is the new year. We all would probably like to do better regarding food. I know that I would. Prep Dish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. I personally use it. I get an email each week with the grocery list and the prep instructions. After about 2 to 3 hours prepping in the kitchen, which I kind of secretly love because I just put on music and everybody leaves me alone, my meals are mostly made for the whole week. And it might sound silly, but I feel so proud of myself when my fridge is full of healthy meals and when my kids ask me what's for dinner and I actually know, I want to give myself a medal. Another thing I love is that the meals are gluten-free and paleo, so I know that they are whole foods based, and we are not paleo or gluten-free, but my family still loves it, especially because they do not know that it is paleo and gluten-free. It's my little secret that they're being healthy. So a gift for you guys from Allison, the founder, is that she's giving you 2-week trial for free. So head over to prepdish.com/MSW for a 2-week free trial. That's prepdish.com/MSW. Okay, so talk to me about having those hard conversations with people. I know you work in prison. Mm-hmm. My first job was in prisons. And
really?
I was a high school teacher to juvenile male inmates who were being tried as adults.
I'm surprised they put you with male inmates.
Listen, I was 21 and they were beautiful. Like 17.
Exactly. That's just, I don't like this.
It was fantastic, though. I loved it because I learned so much, because we always say, well, you know, I do this and that and I shouldn't, but I never killed anybody. I was in there with people who are like, yeah, I killed 3 people, but I didn't kill 5 people. Always, you know, grade our sin, and it's sin is sin. It doesn't matter. But having those hard conversations called, you know, this is not God's best for you, to a 35-year-old woman who wants to sleep around. Like, I think we don't want to get in people's business. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be hateful or whatever. It's not popular to be a Christ follower.
Yeah.
Especially not all the way. Mm-hmm. How do those conversations go when you have them? And would you encourage people to have them even if they're afraid?
I totally encourage, but I think it takes a lot of like patience and willingness to actually step into their life. I think Christians a lot of time are really easy at just telling everyone what they're doing wrong, but they're not a part of their life. And, you know, for me to just find a person who I think is living in sin and just point that out and then I'm done, that's not the way that Jesus wants us to live.
No.
Jesus wants us to walk with people.
Because that's what he did.
That's what he did. If just a random person came up to me and started pointing out sin in my life, I'd be like, what? Who are you, first of all?
Right,
and
right.
I don't understand. Now, my girlfriends that I've invited into that, they tell me something, I listen with full ears, full attention, because A, I've given them permission, B, they know me, and C, they just love Jesus like passionately. Yeah. You know, but I get to step into that a lot working in the jail. And it's a little bit easier because it's almost like we've been invited in, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not easier because I feel like I'm better than them. Not at all. My sins just look different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, I think any of us could have ended up in prison if we had just been caught at the right moment.
I mean, we should have a whole chapter called How Did I Not Get in Prison? I mean, and I talked to these ladies in the jail, and their choices have led them to consequences to where they are locked up for a certain time or for a long time or whatever. And my choices have consequences as well. Mm-hmm. They may not land me in prison, you know, for my choices, but they have consequences that carry as well. The way I parent, the way I talk to my husband, you know, the way I take care of my body, all the things. But I think for sure, like inviting people into your world to be able to speak those things to you. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Like I can think of a particular instance right now with someone I'm getting to know. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're not buddy buddy. We've never been to lunch. And I see something in them that I think might be God honoring. Okay. Now, have I said anything? Not yet.
Okay.
I haven't been invited into that,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm invited, or as soon as we have some deeper conversations, which I'm hoping that we do, then I feel like I have an opportunity to say something, you know, but I think for so long, Christians have just walked around pointing fingers like we are just so high and we are worthy and you are not. And that is not how people follow Jesus at
all.
No,
I think the church has really jacked that up remarkably.
Yeah, we have an opportunity to really be people of Jesus who follow him and love him. And people say, there's something different about you because you love me in spite of myself.
Yes.
And that's what God does.
In your show, you probably, or just as you get feedback, you probably get some of the same questions over and over. And one of the ones for me, because God has blessed me with fantastic neighbors. And so I get a lot of feedback, like, how do you get people like that in your life that will speak into your life and that you can just do your life with in such a way that's real and fun and all that. So how do you get these friends and invite them and things like that? How do you know who's safe? I think if you've been hurt a lot, you don't know who can you trust and all that kind of stuff.
That's one of the most common things I get asked as well, is because I'm really about just vulnerability, transparency. I'm all for like confessing sin. And women are like, that's scary. And I've been really burned by somebody before, you know, and I get that. Some of my closest friends became my closest friends when we did mission together. And when I say doing mission, I think that a lot of times people will step into a church and be like, I don't know anybody. I don't know how to get plugged in. Well, when you serve with the same mission in mind, that is when you develop really deep relationships. Mm-hmm. And so some of my closest friends, we went through a very intensive discipleship 5 or 6 years ago, and it kind of bonded us together. Mm-hmm. Like there was a lot of confession, a lot of grace, a lot of just learning together, a lot of hands-on stuff as well. Okay. And we became super close in that way. I think that when people have like-minded goals and missions, mm-hmm. to serve together, there becomes a relationship that is stronger than anything you've ever had. If you think about it, why do people who have been through like traumatic events together or something's happened that's kind of been just this mountaintop experience or low valley experience, why are they like together for
tight.
Life?
Yeah.
You know, they're like tight because they've experienced something so grand. It's like they've been bonded together. So I always tell women, man, you're looking for that. Get into your church, get into a group, get into something, go serve at the same food kitchen, go serve in the same classroom with your kids, go do something where you are with people on a constant basis. And I think that really, really makes a big, big difference with getting to know people and trusting them and valuing them. You know, I say a lot like vulnerability leads vulnerability, and it takes a lot of courage to step out and be the first one. Yeah. And I think there are ways that you can kind of like test that water out. Like, how open can you be? How honest can you be with a girlfriend, and how does she receive that? Yeah. I think it's really important not only to be vulnerable, to be a really good receiver of someone's vulnerability. How do you carry what someone just said to you? How do you carry that well with them? You know, how do you listen to them? How do you give feedback? How do you hold that close? How do you not share that? I mean, you know, there are so many things that make just a great friend who you can feel really confident in walking through life with. And yeah, I think it takes a little just kind of, I mean, you don't want to try out too many friends, right? But it does take a little bit of just like really, really living life with someone and building that foundation with them.
Well, and just some discernment. If you see, like you said, like they don't hold your precious things well, or if...
Oh, let me tell you, if someone comes to me and they're like, hey, I'm going to tell you this. She told me not to tell anyone, but I'm just going to tell you, red flag. Red flag, yeah. red flag. That to me, that says, I know I will never share something intimate with her because of what she just shared with me about another friend. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
That is huge red flag for me.
Yeah. No, absolutely. At our church, they encourage us. Like if I tell you something about someone else, then you would say, wow, I'm going to follow back up with you in 48 hours. And then you do have talked to them. Yeah, it's so good because you either keep your mouth shut or you just go right to the person because that's awkward.
It is. It is. That same thing was, you know, taught to us when we went through that class as well. And it just, it prevents a lot of stuff. And you know what? There's a time and a place for venting, and you have to, in maturity, you learn how to do that without putting anyone down.
And not just calling it a prayer request when it's really just gossip.
Oh, give me a break. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Usually those start out with like, when I'm talking to my friend Amanda, she gets a lot of my like confessions. I'm just like, okay, here's what's wrong with me. And I'm going to vent, you know, like here's where I need to deal with. There's something in my heart that is making this feel like this and not just it's them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My husband and I have got such a lovely marriage. And I think one of the things that someone told us at our wedding, just to look at them and say, you are not my problem. Because we just want to think, I mean, there's a reason why it's doing something in me that's so,
yeah. Yep, totally.
Okay, so what would you say actually helped you start believing your new identity rather than having it be this kind of like church talk that we should just parrot?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I lived in church talk for a long time. I mean, I grew up in the church. Even after Aaron and I first got married and he served on a church and then we moved to Tennessee and he traveled full time. Looking back, I think I still tried to just look like everything was okay. And because it's easier on one hand, it's really hard on another hand. I also didn't want to deal with my shame. I didn't want to do the hard heart work, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have to like let go of that. I almost felt like I had this obligation that for the rest of my life, I needed to be shameful because I had sinned against God.
Like and so, a penance. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It was my duty to be like shameful. And how could you not be shame when you talk about that? It's so shameful. And I think a lot of people live there forever. Yeah. You know, they feel as though I have done something so awful. There's no way I could live in freedom because that means I don't think it was a big deal. And that's just a skewed view of just God's grace towards us.
Well, it's a lie that the enemy wants us to keep, you know,
totally.
It keeps us stuck. Yeah,
it keeps us stuck. And so we moved to Austin about 9.5 years ago. And when we moved here, it was probably my first experience at a church like you've described yours, where confession was like talked about and repentance and that we are all broken and we need a savior. And I just kind of forever felt like I was broken a long time ago and I needed a savior. But it was really when I started to feel like, man, I am broken today. Mm-hmm. I will be broken until I see Jesus.
Yeah.
But in spite of my sin, in spite of that brokenness, I have a constant need for him. But he has poured out grace for me. He actually looks at me and sees me different. He actually looks at me and sees me as a new creation. He actually looks at me and sees me as righteous. When I started to hear those things spoken over me, intensely studying God's word, seeing leadership in our church be vulnerable, it's when I really started to be like, okay, God, I'm going to deal with this stuff and I'm going to walk in it and I'm going to choose to trust you. And what I learned was trusting him in those things is when the freedom came.
That those things are applied to you and not just someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And that I could actually be free even if I had a crazy story.
Yeah. Like women in the Bible, that we look at the woman at the well and we're like, man, he said you're free. But me, I'm not. It's different. It's not different.
Yep.
It's not different. Okay. Favorite way to take care of yourself. Self-care strategy. Give us an idea.
So self-care is something I'm constantly working on. I'll tell you some of my indulgences, if that's okay.
I would like to say tiny house. I want one.
Tiny house is a great way to take care of myself.
Okay.
I love getting my nails done.
Okay.
Not because I like the act of getting my nails done. So it's more like a thing that I appreciate the 3 weeks after is I get them on and they stay on for a really long time.
Do you do the dipping powder one?
I do the dipping. Yeah. It's SNS, the dipping powder.
I like it.
I love it. And I just feel a little bit more put together.
Yep.
So it's my favorite. Okay. Sometimes when I travel, this is such a confession. Sometimes when I travel and I'm like going somewhere to go speak, especially if I have like an early flight or whatever, I will find a blow dry bar in that town and go get my hair blow dried.
So nice.
That's such an indulgence, but it's like a relaxing thing for me.
Is it relaxing? I have such curly hair that I...
No. If I became the richest woman in the world, someone would show up at my house every day and fix my hair.
Okay.
I don't need to look glamorous. I see them just blow dry it. I love it so much. But I just started working out again. I go through phases. Okay. And so I just started working out again. And I love the way I feel when I work out. For me, it's a matter of making the time. And so I'm trying really hard to prioritize my body.
Yeah. What do you like to do?
Well, I just joined Orange Theory. Have you heard of it?
I just drove by one last night. I was like, is that a smoothie place?
Nope. Okay. It's a workout place. I am a big fan. I've been going for like 3 weeks. Okay. And I love it, love it, love it. It's exactly the kind of workout that I feel like I need. It's like cardio and weight, and you like have your stats up on a screen. And so you're trying to keep your heart rate at a certain level the whole time. And I love give me a goal. Give me what I'm supposed to do and I'm going to do it. And so I love it.
So they like hook you up to a bunch of stuff?
Yeah, you wear a heart monitor.
Cool. And they provide it or you bring it?
I got one when I joined, so I don't know. But yeah.
Interesting.
And so I am a huge fan.
Orange Theory. All right. And then what is something you can't stop talking about?
I mean, my dog is so cute. We talk about her all the time. Aaron and I talk about her as if it's our fifth child.
Okay. What kind of dog is it?
Well, we have two. One we think is cuter than the other. So we talk about the golden doodle all the time.
That is not fair.
They're dogs. They don't care.
Like, what's wrong with the other one?
She's fine. And we thought she was the cutest thing ever until we got the other dog. And then we're like, oh, you're not cute. She's really cute. It's really, really sad. But they're dogs, so we don't care. Last night, even we said, like, I would get another dog, which we're not, because that would be three dogs. And that's...
But you live in the country. You're going to be dog
people. Yeah, but you're inside dogs. Like, we just don't need three dogs. There's six people here. We're done.
Okay.
I can't stop talking about dogs. But if you want a thing that I can't stop talking about. All right. I just got this candle. And it's from a company called Slow North. I wish it. You just heard me.
I heard you smelling. It's so good.
Okay. Slow North. They're actually here in Austin, but they ship and they have online. And this is called Cheer. It smells so lovely.
Like Christmassy, holiday-ish?
Well, it kind of is. Yeah.
I love the name Slow North. I love all the smelling noises.
I know. Please edit those. I have no idea where the name came from, Slow North. So I have no idea.
All right. Well, Jamie, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Could I tell people about the pre-order?
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay, so the cool thing about the book, If You Only Knew, it comes out the end of January, but I think that our pre-order thing is pretty cool. You know how people do like pre-orders, like if you pre-order, you get a print, whatever.
Yeah, what do you get?
So my husband and I, plus some of our closest friends, Brad and Noel, bought some property in March called Green Acres. And it's like a glamping retreat center. So there's yurts and Spartans, and that's where I do my events out there now, my happy hour live.
So fun.
It is so dreamy. And so if you pre-order the book before January 30th, you're entered to win a weekend out there. Travel included, a meal cooked by my husband. And so like dinner with Aaron and I.
That is so fun. That beats all pre-orders
I've heard. I think it's the best pre-order gift ever.
Best pre-order.
You also get 20% off to one of my favorite jewelry companies. But I think that Green Acres like chance to win that is just pretty awesome. So that's fun.
That is so fun.
It's easy. You just like buy the book and then redeem it on my webpage and stuff. So it's fun.
So I wonder if I need to pre-order, even though I already have the book. I'm looking at it.
If you want to be entered into this.
I want to be in a yurt, Jamie.
You want to be in a yurt, you have to.
So funny.
But you can get it on Amazon. And so you can pre-order it and then do that. So I think it's cool.
So good. Thank you. Well, I can't wait to share it with everybody.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I hope that you got a whole lot out of it. I know that I did. What she said about having older kids and watching God draw them to himself, that is something I really look forward to. I love her honesty and her just directness with her kids about topics that are definitely uncomfortable, but also really necessary to talk about. So what will your strategy to struggle well be this week based on what Jamie said? Maybe you realize that you do kind of want to be the Holy Spirit to your kids and you don't really trust God that he is big enough to draw your kids. I think we don't realize that we're not trusting God, but some of our actions kind of betray us, you know? So maybe this week you spend more time being quiet and prayerful and less time on what we call in my house the big L, the lecture. Maybe you could identify with what Jamie was talking about, kind of being on two tracks, serving God, but also serving herself in some way. Y'all, on the fence is uncomfortable. The enemy would have us believe that we're too old and too set in our ways to change whatever it is that we've been struggling with for so many years, but that's just not true. So if something comes to mind and you think, I need to lay that down. I need to let that go. Do not believe the lie that you can't. Okay, maybe like Jamie, you are heading towards God, but you are stumbling big time. Be encouraged. You are doing it right. Knowing the rules is completely different than knowing the Lord. Maybe you are big on truth and you are a really big fan of telling people the truth. Or maybe people have told you, because you might be thinking, I'm just helping, but maybe you need to be in it with people longer, like she was talking about, before giving your opinions about what they need to do better. Some of you are so afraid of upsetting people that you are not telling the truth at all, and you have earned the right to tell it. So maybe this week you do the scary thing and have a conversation with a friend that you would rather not have for their good. Maybe you are one of the several people that I hear from who say they would like to have a close group of girlfriends. I loved Jamie's idea of find something you're passionate about and jump in and serve. The people that you are next to, those are your people. Their heart is motivated by the same thing that motivates yours. That is a really great recipe for friendship. And then like Jamie said, with those friends you find, step out and be the first one to be vulnerable. That is leadership, and you will be amazed at how far that will take you. All right, ladies, it is such a blessing to the show when you rate it and review it. Please make sure you're subscribed and tell every single person that you know. I mean, all of them. Don't forget to buy Jamie's new book and sign up for that awesome pre-order reward. And if you win it, the right thing to do is give it to me because you found out about it on this show, right? Y'all, I want to be inside a yurt, okay? And plus, I need to see Jamie again so I can tell her how much I like my pants. So mortifying. All right, let me pray for us. Lord, you're better than we think you are. We measure you against what we know of ourselves and other people. And you're so much better than that. I thank you for what you've done in Jamie's life and the bravery you've given her to step out and share her story. I love that she's sharing her story, even though it's, like she said, it's not the most outlandish, remarkable story ever. And that's so good because so many of us have a story that we don't consider significant, but the fact is it is. You and our lives, you changing our lives, nothing is more significant. So God, would you take these lovely women, these moms who are struggling well and sometimes just stinking struggling, would you draw them to yourself? Would you bring to mind the thing they need to give up? Would you reassure them that you actually are better than that thing? You actually have the power to heal them and change them. You can do it and you want to do it. Lord, you're for us, and I pray that the women listening would have a bigger sense of who you are and how kind you are. And that your love that you talk about in your word, it actually applies to them personally. God, would you continue to give us what we need to struggle well this week as we stay connected to you? In Jesus' name, amen.